ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो नाइन चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 3।
तत्रापि स्वजन संगाच विषमुद्विजमानो भगवत कर्मबंध विद्वंसन श्रवण स्मरण गुण विवरण चरणारविंद युगलं मनसा विदधा दात्मनः प्रतिघात मा शंकमानो भगवदनुग्रहेणानुस्मृत स्वपूर्वजन्मावलिरात्मन उन्मत्त जडान जडांद बदि रस्वरूपेण दर्शयामास लोकस्य तत्र अपि।
इन दैट ब्राह्मणा ड्यू टू हिज ट्रांसलेशन पर्पस बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ड्यू टू हिज बीइंग एस्पेशली गिफ्टेड विद द लॉर्ड्स मर्सी भरत महाराज कुड रिमेंबर द इंसिडेंट्स ऑफ हिज पास्ट लाइफ। Although he received the body of a brahmana, he was still very much afraid of his relatives and friends who were not devotees. He was always very cautious of such association because he feared that he would again fall down. Consequently, he manifested himself before the public eye as a madman, dull, blind and deaf, so that others would not try to talk to him. In this way, he saved himself from bad association. Within, he was always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord and chanting the Lord's glories, which save one from the bondage of fruitive action. In this way, he saved himself from the onslaught of non-devotee associates. Purport. Every living entity is bound by different activities due to association with the modes of nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Karanam guna sangose sadada asat yoni janmasu. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. We get different types of bodies among 8,400,000 species according to our karma. Karmana daiva netrena, we work under the influence of material nature contaminated by the three modes. And thus we get a certain type of body according to superior order. This is called karma bandha. To get out of this karma bandha, one must engage himself in devotional service. Then one will not be affected by the modes of material nature. Mamcha yovya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. To remain immune from the material qualities, one must engage himself in devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho. That is the perfection of life. When Bharat Maharaj took birth as a Brahman, he was not very interested in the duties of a Brahmana, but within he remained a pure Vaishnava, always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. As advised in Bhagavad Gita, Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. This is the only process by which one can be saved from the danger of repeated birth and death. Due to his being especially gifted with the Lord's mercy, we are reading from the chapter, the supreme character of Jada Bharata. The characteristics and qualities and behavior of Jada Bharata are explained in these verses. How, although he was a Paramahamsa devotee, Jada Bharata behaved just like a fool. Often the word Abaduta is used in the scriptures. Abaduta is one who appears like a fool externally, but internally very exalted, very advanced. In fact, those who are wise in society know that the avadutas who are not dressed attractively or who allow the hair to grow long or who shave up, those who may not fit into the norms of society, those are wise, they know that such avadutas actually may externally look in that manner, but they are very exalted internally. Like we read about the avadut Brahman in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam or the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. So these avadutas externally look like beggars, but they were internally very advanced. When Prahlad Maharaj was passing through the forest, he saw that avadut Brahmana who was lying in the forest as if he had nothing to do and totally neglected by the society. So why do the avadutas put such a vesh? For various reasons. Here some reasons are given why. In order to avoid the materialistic association, to avoid the materialistic people. And if they find somebody is interested in God, then they can go to such a person and give some good advice. So this is a trick that the avadutas adopt in order to escape from the materialistic company of people. As it is said here, Jadabharata was always fearful, fearful of falling down. This fear is actually a very welcomeable fear in the life of even a practicing devotee. Buddha, he taught 5 principles to his followers, one of which is that one should always have fear of falling down. If one does not have that fear, then one may become careless, neglectful, and one can easily fall down. Because of the previous experience as falling down into the body of a deer, here we see Jadabharata is extremely cautious and fearful. So it is said he is fearful of bad association and he is fearful of falling down. Prahlad Maharaj also, we are very close, closely approaching Narasimha Chaturdashi. We can speak about how Prahlad Maharaj also feared bad association. Prahlad Maharaj, in fact, you will find both the things Prahlad Maharaj saying. I am not fearful, on the other hand, I am fearful. So Prahlad Maharaj says, oh my dear Lord, I am not afraid of the ferocious form in which you have appeared as Lord Narasimhadev. He says, Naham bibhem yajitaneti bhayanakasya jihvarka netra bhagutira basogradam shtrat antrasraja kshataja keshara shanku karnat nirhrada bhita digibad aribin nakagrat. He's saying, my dear Lord, your eyes are shining like a sun and your mane is soaked with blood and your ears are standing like a sharp wedge and your tongue is like a sword that is moving hither and thither and you are wearing the bloody intestines taken out of the Hiranyakashipu's body and you are roaring like thunder. And when all the animals in the forest hear the sound of Narasimhadev's roaring, they all put their tails in between their legs and run into the bushes out of fear. But although all these fearsome features are making everyone fearful, I am not fearful of you, Prahlad is saying. So how is a devotee not fearful, although Lord appears in such a fearsome form? That is because for a cub, the lion is not fearsome. Because the cub sees the lion as a mother. On the other hand, the other animals in the forest will fear a lion. In the same way, when there is a tsunami wave, all the people are so fearsome, even before it comes now. Maybe it will appear for the third time. Whereas the fishes in the ocean, they have no fear. There may be small fishes which are going against the tsunami wave in the ocean. In the same way, a devotee has taken shelter of the Lord, so he has no fear. In fact, devotee is characterized by fearlessness. In the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord begins with the word abhayam. Sattvasham shuddhir jnana yoga vasit. The first quality is fearlessness for a devotee. So if a devotee should be fearless, then why should Jadabharat say he is fearful. Prahlad Maharaj also says he is fearful of something. He says, you know. He says, Trastosmyagham krapana vatsala dussahogra samsara chakra kadanat grasatam pranita baddhasvakarma virushattama tengri moolam pritopavarga sharanam bhayase kadanu. He is telling, my dear Lord, trasta means fearful. Trastosmyagham krapana vatsala. Oh, insurmountable Lord. I am always fearful of the bad association because I am born in the family of demoniac people. Because of my own past misdeeds, I have been put into this family. He is taking responsibility for being born in a demoniac family. He is not actually blaming the Lord or blaming the circumstances for being put in an awkward situation where he has to fall down. He says that, I am put in this family because of my own past misdeeds. And I am very fearful of this bad association. Trastosmyakam Kripana Vatsala. But you are Kripana Vatsala. Kripana Vatsala means, like we say, Bhakta Vatsala. Lord is also Kripana Vatsala. Kripanas are those uninterested in spiritual life. Even those who are materialistic in nature, you are Vatsala of those people also. You are eager to deliver them. You are their well-wisher. So he says, samsara chakra kadanat grasatam. Grasatam means one living being is trying to devour another in this world. Always there is a competition. He is my friend, he is my enemy, I am big, you are small, and such competition. Prahlad Maharaj says, I don't want to live in the company of such people in this material world. So Prahlad Maharaj is fearing. And then he is asking, when will the time come, my dear Lord, when you will call me to your lotus feet? How long is it going to take, he is asking. You will find the very same Prahlad saying in another verse that I am not afraid of this material world. Elsewhere he says that. Naivodvijay paraduratyaya vaitaranyas tvadbiryagayana mahamrita magnachitta shochetato vimukacheta sayindriyartha mayasukaya paramudvahato vimudan. There he says, I am not fearful of the material world. Now you may wonder, these two verses are contradicting one another. Here he is saying, I am fearful of material association. There he says, I am not fearful of material world. This contradiction can be resolved only by understanding the ecstasies of the devotee. The ecstasies which are like waves coming in the heart of a devotee. They only can resolve this contradiction. A devotee is certainly unhappy in the company of a non-devotee. But a devotee's compassion is so great that he is ready to tolerate the pain of associating with the non-devotee for the sake of giving him Krishna consciousness. So he says, I don't mind being in this material world to deliver the suffering souls. Like that he is praying. So one should certainly have a fear of bad association and bad company. Especially in the neophyte stage, one may feel that everything is normal, there is no fear. In fact, the materialistic people are thinking there is nothing to fear in this world. Because they appear to be very jolly, very happy. Not knowing the serpent of time that is right behind them to devour them. So they appear to be quite cool. In the same manner, just as a materialist is not aware of the danger of death and also the value of human form of life. In the same way, a neophyte devotee can also be a little careless about the danger of Maya. One time in Mayapur, Jayapata Goswami came to Prabhupada and asked, Prabhupada, can we serve this sharbat to all the devotees? Nowadays it is very hot summer and so many people are thirsty. And besides that, he said, the devotees are going to the shops opposite to the Mayapur temple and buying this ice cream with a stick. And they are eating the ice cream. So when Prabhupada heard it, he was very angry. And Prabhupada said, no one should eat anything that is not offered to deity. Prabhupada said, if they eat all these things, they will fall down. So, now it may appear to be a very small thing. What will happen by buying something and eating something outside that is not offered? So Prabhupada said, a devotee should be cautious even about something that is so small. So, this is a simple example of little carelessness we may have, but the problem with little carelessness is, it's like 1 degree deviation of a plane. When the plane is going in its route, if it just take 1 degree, then 1 degree, after some time you will be miles apart, miles away from the main path. That is why so much stress is given on parampara. Actually, when we talk of importance of parampara, it's not only hearing the knowledge, it is also repeating the knowledge in parampara. It is also living in accordance with the principles given in parampara. Our lifestyle and our living, everything. So many things have to be followed so that we don't get sidetracked or we don't get carried away by a deviant path. When Srila Prabhupada was with some of his disciples once, Panchadravida Maharaj was asking a very important question that's relevant to the current verse. He was asking, it is a tulayama lavenapi naswargam na punarbhavam. Lava means 1/11 of a second. He asked Prabhupada, how is it that in 1/11 of a second you can gain something from a devotee? Doesn't seem to be meaningful. 1 second itself is so small, 1/11 of a second is so small. Then Prabhupada explained, yes, this verse is true. How it is true, Prabhupada explained. He said that 1 who is in the materialistic company, he is always moist. So Prabhupada compared this as moist. We say tatastha shakti. Tatastha means sometimes wet, sometimes dry. So Prabhupada said dry means a person is very fit for spiritual life. And moist means one is now affected by the Maya's infatuation. That is moist. So Prabhupada was telling, one actually has to keep oneself dry. Only then one will actually be able to experience association. Then he said, the devotee can be compared, pure devotee can be compared to a matchstick. If you take a matchstick and lit it, and you put it on a dry object, then immediately dry wood will burn. But if the wood is wet, what can be done? Then there is smoke and all the other problems. So Prabhupada is telling, this is the association of a devotee. So both the sides, there should be qualification. The matchstick should be able to light up fire and the wood should be dry. Then the combination is very good. Then immediately it can give rise to fire. In the same way, Prabhupada said, I am telling all the devotees to follow the process properly. What is following the process? The 4 regulative principles and the 64 regulative principles given by Rupa Goswami. But Prabhupada said, despite all the good advice, people do nonsense because of which again they become moist in spiritual life. When one is moist, again one cannot make progress. Like Prabhupada said, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. They cannot go together like that. And then Prabhupada said, why one moment association is not taking effect? Because we are not fit. We are not keeping ourselves qualified for that. And Prabhupada said, those who are qualified, those who qualify themselves for good association, they will be able to see the benefit. So, in this way, the jivatma is actually tatastha. Tatastha means it's in between. He can become moist or he can keep himself dry. Now, when we become devotees, there is a, like we all see when we take initiation, at the time of initiation, one feels a great fire in the heart. One feels a great vairagya. One feels great seriousness in the heart. But again we find the nature of the material world is to always take us down. After some time again one can tend to go to the zone of complacency, comfort zone or cool zone, wherein one can again invite danger of the material world for a period of time. That is why this aspect of becoming moist and wet, this is the nature of the tatastha jiva. Jivatma has a tendency to fall down. And jivatma is very tiny and very small, so he can be overwhelmed by maya. So that was the time Vishnunjan Swami also asked this question about Chota Haridas's fall down. He asked him, how did Chota Haridas make himself wet? Wet means how he became touched by maya. So then Prabhupada was explaining how Lord Chaitanya's followers should be extremely strict. So Prabhupada said, in the path of spiritual life, if you have taken a vow, there is no question of going back after making a vow. There is no question of breaking. That's not possible, he said. And if somebody says, okay, if somebody has broken a vow, then Prabhupada said, then there is no other way. And the only way is one should commit suicide, he said. And then we can see in the next lifetime what will happen, he said. Of course, the talk was going on. Then all the devotees, their eyes became very widened when they heard this. And they were listening very attentively. Then Satyavada Maharaj quoted a very important verse from, important writing of Prabhupada from Nectar of Devotion. He said, Prabhupada, you say in Nectar of Devotion that in devotion service if somebody does some pap, does some sin, then all you need to do is to again do devotion service. There is no other type of prayaschitta or atonement for one who has fallen in the path of bhakti. So is it not enough if one reinstates oneself in devotion service? Then Prabhupada said, Chota Haridas's example, Chota Haridas's case is not just a typical case, but it is an example for the devotees. And he said it's a serious example. Lord Chaitanya's follower cannot deviate from the path. But it goes to show that even a follower of Lord Chaitanya can fall down. And then Prabhupada quoted this, Vajradapi Kathoram, Kusmadapi Komalam, he said. When other devotees heard it, like Kamalaksha Maharaj heard it, he said, but Prabhupada, if we are going to be so strict, what will happen? And then Prabhupada said, I am not Lord Chaitanya to be so strict like this. And then when Guru Prabhupada Swami asked, Prabhupada, what about somebody in this con if somebody falls down? Will you have to commit suicide? And Prabhupada said, just gave a monosyllabic answer, no. And he didn't say anything more. And in this way, one devotee made a comment, yes Prabhupada, otherwise you know, if you start committing suicide, then nobody will be left in the moment as a devotee. But then Prabhupada didn't laugh. He was serious. He said, why should he commit suicide? He has already committed suicide, he said. If somebody falls down, he has already committed suicide. Because he was given a chance to become Krishna conscious, but he fell down, so that is suicide, he said. So, we can see the mood of Srila Prabhupada, how seriously he spoke about this falling down. So these vows are very serious vows that we take in Krishna consciousness. They are not ordinary. In our society we will find three classes of devotees. One is the spontaneous devotees who have already gone to that stage from where they will not fall down. They have gone to a very high stage, exalted stage, where they are able to experience the higher taste in Krishna consciousness. Then there are second level of devotees who are neophyte devotees who have taken diksha, who are practicing now, who are constantly struggling with mind and senses. Then there are third level devotees who are not into the movement, but who are supporting the movement by giving some land or wealth or something like that from a distance. They are offering some service to Krishna like that. So these three level of devotees we find. As far as the third category is concerned, they have no problem. They will take some more time to become proper devotees, taking diksha and following four related principles and all. And the first class devotees are spontaneous devotees. They are in ecstatic love. So they don't feel so much disturbance of maya. But the in-between category, the second category of devotees, are the ones who are now somewhere between sinful life and pure life. So here is where the real challenge comes. The world temptations don't die very easily. They keep coming. But the order of the spiritual master is very important for the disciple. One should know that like keeping wet doesn't mean falling down. Keeping wet actually means hovering on the zone of maya. That is the meaning of keeping wet. That means keeping the heart with maya, not with Krishna. So when one allows heart to be captured by maya, then it's only a matter of time one falls down like that. That is why the fear of falling down is very good in this respect, that if one has a fear, like Jadabharata had. Jadabharata was already very exalted. He was a Paramahamsa devotee. Still he says he is fearful of maya. He is fearful of bad association. Lord Chaitanya also says, put me in a cage and bolt the door and set fire to the cage. I don't worry. I don't mind being burnt in that cage. Instead of associating with a non-devotee, he says. Associating with a non-devotee is not just being in their vicinity. Association is something that causes influence. Gradually, that association percolates our heart. That is association. Just like dhyayato vishyam pumsaha sangasteshu pajayate, we say. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. So step by step, a person falls down. One becomes visibly influenced by the company of a devotee or the company of a non-devotee. We can see that how we become influenced. So in the long run, when one sees that one is becoming influenced, then one has to keep distance from non-devotees. As soon as one observes that one is getting influenced by bad company. So asat sangatyag ye vaishnava achar. Sri Sanghi Yeka Asadu Krishna Abhakta R. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the CC we read how the first qualification of a devotee is to keep away from a non-devotee. Asat Sangatyag Evashno Achar. So a Madhyamadhikari Bhakta keeps away from a dveshi or a non-devotee. That doesn't mean he envies him. That doesn't mean he abhors him. No. He keeps away from a non-devotee and prays for him from a distance. And he also keeps distance so that he doesn't become contaminated. And he also keeps distance so that the non-devotee does not become a blasphemer of the Lord or his devotees. For that sake. Sometimes you find non-devotees criticizing devotees. That you people are cornered. You are always afraid of we people. If you really have the courage, then why don't you come and associate with us? Why do you run away? So we don't have to take these words very seriously because we have to keep distance for our own good. Just like we sometimes, you know, when we drink water, we don't drink water from anywhere. We take water only which is not contaminated. We may buy a Bisleri bottle and take water. In the same manner, devotee is very intelligent to safeguard his consciousness. So we can be safe. We also can know that the non-devotee association will contaminate us. And for our safety, we are keeping distance. Even if they ridicule, we don't have to show them that we are courageous to associate with them. Just like at one time, two elephants, which were temple elephants, they took a bath. They were coming in the street, husband and wife elephants. So their bodies were decorated with beautiful tilak and everything. When they were coming, that time there was a newly married pig couple. So the pig wanted to show that he is a great hero. So when these elephants were coming, so the he pig, he came in the center of the street and he was ready to have a stunt with the elephant. So he proposed to the elephant, "Are you ready for a fight? Come with me, let's have a fight." So the elephant looked at the pig and then he said, "No, I'm not ready for a fight." So he went by the side like this, by the side of the street and walked. So the she-elephant became very annoyed. She said, "Are you not ashamed? You have such a huge body and the pig has such a small body. If you just took your feet and pounded on his head, he would just become like a football and he'll be rolled into the gutter. Why didn't you do that? And you just went by the side of the street." Then the he-elephant told her, "You see, just now we have taken a bath and we are decorated with tilak and everything in the body. And we are going for Lord's service in the temple. Why did you get contaminated by this pig? Let him think whatever he wants," he said. So in this way, the elephant saved himself from being nastified, spoiled by the pig's company. So a devotee should know to what extent a devotee can associate with a non-devotee. We cannot associate to an extent that we allow our heart to become contaminated and polluted. In fact, the non-devotee association is the root cause of Vaishnava Aparadha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in one place, non-devotee association is the root cause of Vaishnava Aparadha. And non-devotee association also is the root cause of complacency and many other problems. So here we find Jadabharata, how cautious he is. I was reading in one of the BTG articles, Prabhupada says, how Mr. Wise has occupied the mind of everyone. And Mr. Wise is not only alone, he is surrounded by his soldiers, namely desire, attachment, avarice, fear. All these are his soldiers. and all of them have occupied the throne of the mind. Once you occupy the throne of the mind, then you can control all the senses. And it gives dictation to all the senses. And the senses run here and there wild, trying to get satisfaction. And then Prabhupada says how general masses are always fooled by the mind where Mr. Vice is sitting. Mr. Vice means all sorts of vices in which people engage. And then he says, a karmi or a materialist is very downtrodden. Whereas a jnani is 1,000 times better. Why? Because jnani has understood that this Mr. Vice is sitting in the mind. He has occupied strategic positions in the body, like the senses in the mind. So jnani, what does he do? He tries to sort of ghetto Mr. Vice and not allow him to do what he wants to do. When Mr. Vice wants to order the senses, jnani restricts him. So he is superior. But a yogi is 1,000 times more superior. Why? Because he has started attacking Mr. Vice along with his soldiers. Like a yogi does this pratyahar. Pratyahar means attacking, closing, shutting off all the senses and not letting them to go in whatever direction they want to go. So yogi is even more superior. And Prabhupada says a bhakta is the most superior. Why? Because he has picked up Mr. Vice and threw him away, far away. And in Mr. Vice's place, he has put Krishna there, Krishna's lotus feet. So in the mind, just as it is said, within, he was always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord and chanting the Lord's glories, which save one from the bondage of fruitive action. So when a devotee puts Krishna in the place of Mr. Vice, then a devotee can very easily surpass the pushings of Maya. It's possible. There are many verses in Bhagavatam in different places which say that other than devotional service, there is no other way by which one can counteract the force of Maya. Maya is extremely powerful. But when one engages in devotional service, then one gets the help of the Lord. One gets the additional help from the Lord, additional help from the devotees. And once mind, senses, everything is totally sold out to the Lord. Like Rupa Goswami says, no jane janita ki adbiravritai. In that verse, he says, cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita ki adbiravritai krishneti varnadvai. He says, sarvendriyanam kritim. All my senses have become sold out to the Lord, he says, when I chant the holy names of Krishna. So, this is the only way when a devotee engages in devotional service, then he can become oblivious to the allurements offered by Maya. You see, every one of our senses have unlimited sense objects. It's not that something which is a sense object for one's eyes or ears or nose or tongue or skin is a sense object for another. Many times you'll find an object is attractive to a particular sense, whereas the same object is not attractive to another, somebody else's senses. That means every one of our senses have unlimited sense objects waiting to allure us in this world. Just like a fish in an ocean, he sees the meaty bait that is put by a fisherman. But then, although there is so much of food available in the ocean waters, this fish wants only that meaty bait. Unfortunately, it gets caught by the fisherman's hook. In the same way, Maya also has many baits that she puts. Living entities become a victim to Maya's allurements like that. That is why, you know, this jnanis, for example, perform severe penances. Like this crane, you have seen the crane. Crane is sitting in one place, standing in one place in the river. Completely stands still. He doesn't even wink his eye. He's standing completely silent, as if he's a statue. And all the fishes come around him, thinking that what happened? We have a new statue of crane in our river. And when the fishes come, all of a sudden, immediately he will catch a fish. You will see that. Similarly, the contaminations in the core of our heart cannot be so easily eradicated. A jnani may apparently be silent for a long period of time. just like Vishwamitra Muni, performing penance for 60,000 years. But the tendencies for enjoying the senses is not gone. That is still there. Just like this crane has a tendency to catch fish, although silent for a long time. Similarly, even after performing severe penances, one cannot become free from this tendency. But when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, even that very tendency is uprooted by devotion service. That is why, as it is explained here towards the end, Prabhupada explains, when Maharaj Bharat took birth as a Brahmana, he was not very interested in the duties of a Brahman, but within he remained a pure Vaishnava. So there is a very clear-cut difference between the four Purusharthas and the Bhagavad Dharma. It's like earth and sky, the difference between the two. If you see in the four Purusharthas, you do dharma for getting artha. When you have artha, you want to enjoy kama. When one gets calm, then one is frustrated, one wants moksha for one's own peace and satisfaction. So all the four Purusharthas are simply sense gratification. Nothing but sense gratification. That is the orientation. Whereas the Bhagavad Dharma is the dharma which is oriented towards Lord's pleasure, giving pleasure to Krishna. That is why in Srimad Bhagavatam itself it is said, dharma projjita kaitavatra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate mahamuni krite kimva parairishwarah. It is said, Srimad Bhagavate mahamuni krite kimva parairishwarah. What is the need of any other scripture besides Srimad Bhagavatam? It is said in Bhagavatam itself. Why? Because it says, tapatrayon mulanam, it can uproot the threefold miseries in this world. And it is meant for the nirmatsaras, not for those who are competing in this world to go higher and higher. Even the jnanis are competing with God to become God, by merging into God. So, Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of all knowledge. The Vedas are called as nigam, nigama kalpataru. So, if you take the Vedic knowledge tree, the branches are considered to be like jnana kanda, karma kanda, upasana kanda, and different kandas. And in those different kandas, there are different flowers that come. Those flowers are compared to the purusharthas, like dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And the fruit is the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads. And it is a bitter fruit. Because the Upanishads and Vedanta, they give knowledge about the absolute truth, but it is considered to be like a mango, raw mango. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripe mango. So in this way, we can understand in the tree of Vedic wisdom, which part of the tree one would want to relish. Not the barks, not the branch, not the flower, not the raw mango, but the ripe mango. That is why it is said about Bhagavatam. Nigamakalpatarorgalitam phalam shuka mukhat amrita dravasam yutam pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavuka. It is said, nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. It's a mature fruit. The mature has another meaning also. The mature, it's called as mature because it was written by Vedavyas in his maturity. After writing all the scriptures, when he was still despondent, he was advised by his guru Narada to write the Srimad Bhagavatam at that time, to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, here we find Bharata, he is externally a Brahmana, but heart of hearts he is worshipping the Lord. Like it is said in Bhagavad Gita also, similar thing is said. Tatrattam buddhi samyogam labate paurvadehikam yatate cha tato bhuyah samsiddhau kurunandana purvabhyasena tenaiva hriyate hi avashopisah jignyasarapi yogasya shabda brahma ativartate. Same thing is said, shabda brahma ativartate means a person who recollects his previous life. He is able to remember everything. Who I was in the previous life. How I have again fallen down, taking another body due to my karma bandhan. I have taken another body now. And then he becomes a jignyasu, inquisitive. He wants to know more about God. Like you will see, not all people have so much inclination to know about God. But some people are very eager to know about God. Because Kriyate hi avashopi saha, it is said. Kriyate means like a magnet pulling the iron filings. Like that, a person who has done something in the past lives, he is pulled towards the Lord, pulled towards the scriptures. And then when he hears the scriptures, he even goes beyond the mundane Vedas, which means he becomes a Paramahamsa Bhakta. Like a pure Vaishnava, he transcends all the Vedas and Upanishads, everything, and he is situated in the Bhagavata Dharma. So one who is practicing Bhagavata Dharma is not bound by the rituals and ceremonies, just like Madhavendra Puri writes. He is not bound by any of the rituals and rites. He becomes a Paramahamsa Bhakta. Directly he remembers Krishna constantly in his heart, out of spontaneous love for him. In this way, Bharat Maharaj, we find how, as Jada Bharata, he doesn't speak at all. Only at one point of time he is going to speak in future, when he wants to give some good piece of advice to Rahuguna, King Rahuguna. Otherwise he doesn't speak. So one should speak if one can say something that will benefit oneself and benefit others. If one cannot do that, then it's better for one to keep mum. Because by speaking something, we can get entangled. Actually, the speech comes in karmendriya. Karmendriya, just like hand and legs are karmendriya, speech also is karmendriya, because one speech can cause so much damage. Durvasa Muni spoke one speech by which he created a demon and he had to flee for his life. So it's better that one takes the example from Jada Bharata. It's a very wonderful example of how one should be fearful of Maya, fearful of bad association, and how one should follow the path of Bhagavata Dharma, the pure path of Bhakti Yoga, and learn to control one's mind and senses in a very easy way. All that is shown by Jada Bharata's examples. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much.